writing should be a career that everyone can follow, especially writers of color.
When writers are united and when we speak with one voice, we wield incredible power and can accomplish amazing things.
We have the power to protect our economic security.
Because lower and mid-level writers deserve to be able to earn a living in this career. And because mini rooms majorly suck.
We have to stand up for writers, and we have to make writing a viable career for everyone.
That's a video made by the Writers Guild of America. They have authorized a strike. Nearly 98% of the members who voted, voted yes. And that means if the WGA cannot negotiate a new contract, thousands of writers could walk off the job 2 weeks from now. It would be the first work stoppage in 15 years. The last one went on for more than 3 months and cost the local economy more than $2 billion. The first shows back then to go dark were late-night talk shows because of their daily tight turnaround. Here's Conan O'Brien in January of 2008 on his third night back on the air, sporting a very bushy strike beard in solidarity with his writing staff.
We support what they're fighting for. We want them back here very soon. They're a huge part of this show. In the meantime, I'm going to do my very best to entertain you without my writers. Now, of course, this is not always going to be pretty. Don't laugh at that. Don't laugh harder at that. No, it's not. It's not always going to be pretty. But on the bright side, our show now has all the excitement and unpredictability of an old dog trying to jump up on your bed and not quite making it.
Joining us to talk about this is Katie Kilkenny. She covers labor and union issues for The Hollywood Reporter. Welcome back.
Thank you for having me.
Also joining us is Justin Halpern, member of the WGA West Board and a writer and executive producer and showrunner for ABC's Abbott Elementary and the animated series Harley Quinn on HBO Max. Hi, Justin.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Great to have you. Okay, so Katie, 98% of the members who voted to strike. Was that expected?
It was expected that they would vote to authorize a strike, but the wide margin by which they did authorize a strike, I think, was not necessarily expected. It broke records for levels of participation in a strike authorization vote for the Writers Guild of America, and the turnout also broke records for the Guild. So nearly 79% of members eligible to vote did take part. So that part was really interesting to me.
Right. And so, Justin, what does that mean if there is no agreement in the next 2 weeks? Does that mean you and your fellow 9,000 plus writers will join the picket line, stop writing, and I guess stop receiving a paycheck?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, I know of that 98% and the 9,000 people who voted, I know that not a one of us want a strike, but we also want to be paid fairly and not undervalued. And so if we are not able to reach a deal where we feel like we are, then yeah, that means we will stop writing and we will stop working and stop receiving a paycheck.
What is the main bone of contention? Or maybe there are several main bones of contention, but if you could winnow it down to a few, what are they, Justin?
Well, I think it's a pretty wide range of issues, but at the core of all of them is the sort of undervaluing of writer pay. I think over the course of the years, orders for shows have been shorter. The writing time is now shorter, and we're being paid less for doing some of the most important work you do on a series, which is, you know, creating the show. They put us in things called mini rooms where we're paid minimum, the minimum we can be paid as a writer, and we're supposed to come up with the sort of foundation for those shows. And so I think part of the issue is, you know, it's harder and harder to put together a year for most writers. I think there's a misconception that writers are paid this like wealthy sum, you know, they're very, very wealthy. And I think a percentage of our writers are, but there is a much larger percentage who are having trouble just putting together a full year to be able to live in Los Angeles.
Can you just go into detail about these mini rooms? Because I don't think a lot of people understand what they are and what that means in terms of your compensation.
Yeah, so a lot of times when a studio or a network is thinking about ordering a show, they won't order it to series anymore, or they won't order a pilot anymore. What they'll do is they'll sort of have the creator of the show and maybe three or four writers all come and be in what's called a mini room, which is, the idea is they'll break the show, they'll figure out the world of the show, they might even write a few scripts and break out the season, And all of that writing, because it's sort of disconnected now from producing, they're able to pay us guild minimum, which is means the least amount of money that they can pay us. So it doesn't matter if you're a 15-year veteran or you're just starting out, you're going to be paid the very minimum. And that work is some of the most challenging work you can do on a television show. And it's certainly the most important. And so that's then after they get all that data and the studio is able to see all these scripts and hear about the season, then they decide whether or not they want to order it to series. And that's just not fair.
And then some of the writers in these mini rooms might not be hired to work on the show, right?
Yeah, that's the other problem is that then if the show goes to series, most of those writers probably won't actually end up being on the staff of that show where they would be able to make their actual quote and writer producer fees and actually make a good living as a writer.
Mm-hmm. And Katie, the other big issue, as I understand it, and was also a big issue way back when in 2007, and that's residuals and how the landscape has changed with the streamers. Can you describe how it's different now when it comes to residuals?
Yeah, so back in the day, you know, you would have multiple windows by which writers could earn additional income. So a movie might be replayed on a television network, and then there was the home video market, you know, DVDs and VHSs, and those were all new points of payment. Now with shows and movies, you know, simply going onto streaming, the residuals formula is totally different, and there are just fewer points at which writers can be paid. So that has completely changed, and writers often, who are gig workers essentially, relied on those residuals to be able to make up their earnings in between projects.
Right. And some of the networks will just pull their content, right, instead of paying residuals, like, or the streamers rather. They'll say, okay, well, we're no longer going to air this show that might be popular because we might have to pay residuals.
That's certainly a phenomenon that's happening. I'm sure the networks and the studios would say that that's not the reason they're pulling those shows, but I would imagine that theoretically they would not have to pay those residuals, you know, if the shows are pulled.
Justin, what's your take on that?
Well, I think, you know, our feeling is like, we're not asking to make money off things they're not making money off of. So if they are pulling a show because it's not making money for them, we're not asking to share in profits that aren't there. What we're saying simply is, if you are if this is a huge revenue generator for you, whether it be subscriptions or because of views, we would like to have an equitable share of that profit.
And Katie, what is the financial situation for the streamers and for the networks? The streamers say that they're having trouble making money, or at least Wall Street thinks they're having trouble making money. Is that true?
We do know that Wall Street has turned on the streaming model to a certain degree. And so the streamers are very much in cost-cutting mode right now. There have been a number of layoffs at some of the major companies. They are attempting to cut costs by taking things off of their services that they believe aren't performing, as Justin and you were mentioning. So, you know, they are in a mode of cost cutting because Wall Street, which had sort of buoyed up these streamers for so long based off of the potential there, has turned on them.
And so, Justin, what about that the streamers are facing some difficulties? You're seeing a lot of job cuts. Disney cut 7,000, for example. Is that a risk that you're just going to see more job cuts and not a lot in terms of concessions on the part of the streamers, because they're going to say, look, we just don't have the money to do this?
Well, I think there's never been a time when we've sat down for a negotiation where they've said that this is a great time to be asking for more money. But what I would say is that, you know, they had a plan, a streaming model plan, and they were public about the fact that, you know, it may take a little bit to find profitability, and that this is what we're seeing now. But also a lot of them are, many of them are making profits right now. They're making profits right now. And I think there's a difference between needing growth year after year after year after year and showing this exponential growth, which is not feasible and which drives, you know, shareholder prices, versus like, they're making a large profit. Many of them are making a large profit. And, you know, the studios negotiate together. And we feel at the Writers Guild that if they choose to negotiate together, that we shouldn't be held to whichever one of them is going through the most financial burden at that moment. We, you know, they're negotiating together and many of them are doing very well. And we feel like we need to be that this is a perfectly good time.
You work for a network as well as a streamer. You work on Abbott Elementary on ABC and also Harley Quinn. And so is there a difference in your experience?
You know, I think that there's not a real difference yet. It's certainly like I've because Abbott Elementary airs on ABC, but then the next day it airs on Hulu. And then after the season's completed, it airs on Hulu and it airs on HBO Max. And I think that's part of what writers' concerns are, is that these shows are not just living in the one place that they first air. They're being monetized in many different ways across many different platforms. And because of that, it's generating income that that's just really never getting to us.
Do you get paid if it airs on a streamer after first airing on a network?
There is a residual model that we fought for in 2020 for television. There is a residual model that will pay us for it airing on the networks, but we don't airing on the streamers. It's not equivalent to what it used to be. It's less. But you know, part of the issue also is that we don't ever know how well it's doing on these platforms because no one gets to see that data. And so, you know, I think it becomes this situation where it's tricky to know if you hear it's a big hit, but then we're not seeing the residuals reflected in that way.
So, Katie, I imagine the studios are stockpiling all sorts of stuff in anticipation of this strike. They weren't taken by surprise either. So what can we expect as viewers if indeed the writers go on strike?
They are indeed. They stockpiled scripts. I've talked to attorneys who have said that they've looked at their filming schedules, and we're even in a kind of strike mode right now, according to certain sources, where basically studios and streamers have prepared so much that there's not a lot of work to go around at the moment. But what you can expect is that the late night hosts would go down first if a strike were to occur, because they rely on these sort of daily, weekly writing. We would imagine that there would be more reality and nonfiction content that would probably be aired. But also, you know, the streamers already have plenty of content on their platforms. So I don't know how much they would be adding new content on their platforms as much as resurfacing older content that might have new interest now.
More unscripted reality shows?
Potentially, yes. Yes. Mm.
Oh, lucky us. Okay. Katie Kilkenny covers labor and union issues for The Hollywood Reporter. Justin Halpern is a TV writer. He works on ABC's Abbott Elementary and HBO Max's Harley Quinn. Thank you both so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Coming up, how an Adderall shortage revealed that lots of adults now have ADHD. We'll find out why next on Press Play.